The scripture reading for the service tonight is from the book of Revelation, chapter 11. Revelation 11, beginning in verse 1. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they tread under foot 42 months. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees, and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth, and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues, as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified, and they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3.5 days, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves, and they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. And after 3.5 days, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the 10th part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000. And the remnant were affrighted, and gave glory to God of heaven, the God of heaven. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. And the 7th angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders, which sat before God on their seats, fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power, and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldst give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Dear congregation, we want to continue the interpretation of the explanation of chapter 11. And we have to start now tonight with verse 15. Revelation 11, and we start with 15. Dear congregation, then was you for the last time with your thoughts in heaven. Is that a strange question? It is really strange when you think this is a strange question. Then you have really to fear. For when you are born again, you are born out of heaven. And when you belong to Christ, the apostle says, our walk, our habitation, our citizenship, that's what it really means, is in heaven. We live there. Some people know what it is to be a stranger. You live in a country where you are not really at home. You've not been born there. You don't know the language so well. And your heart is longing for the place where you are at home. Where is our home? In heaven is our most beloved one, physically. There is our bridegroom. There is Christ, sitting at the right hand of the Father. And the apostle teaches that we see Jesus. To see Him with the eyes of faith in His glory. Stephen, before he went to heaven, he saw the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of God. And there are they who died in the Lord and received their deepest wish to come to the perfect, full knowledge, praise, love of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And in heaven we live, we shall live forever and ever. When we are on the way to it, the narrow way, when we went over from death unto life, from the broad way to hell, on the narrow way to eternal life. And how short is our time here? It's nearly nothing. And every moment we can be called to come. And therefore the Lord Jesus warns us so often. One thing is needed. Don't work for the meat which pass. Seek first, the kingdom of God. That's His word. That's not my word. But it's the eternal truth. For He is the truth. And what He says and speaks is true. And must be done. For he who loves me keeps my commandments. Maybe you ask, it's good to ask things in your thoughts. Pastor, what's the relation between Revelation 11 and what you are telling us now? When there is one book in the Scripture which tells us and reveals us a lot about heaven, then it is the last Bible book. The light of the Holy Spirit is changing. It's going round, going down. And we saw terrible things last time in the preceding verses in this chapter. A terrible enmity against the Word. The true servants of God killed. But they were revived. That's the light shining on the world in which we live, to show us what we can expect, what's coming. And I think nearer, we are closer to it than we think. For the whole modern spirit is the spirit of the evil. Science, the media, so many means by which the power of the beast is developing and infecting every man, no exception. Yes, you. And the sign of the beast is not on your head, but when the love of Christ is reality in your soul. Nobody can conquer the church, for we are more than conquerors in Christ. But often it seems to be hidden. When we look around and we see how things are developing in the United States, the mightiest nation of the world, but also in the other nations, and how by internet, television, and so many other things which are coming, the whole world becomes more and more one little village. One law, one custom, one terrible unity in the utter rebellion against God. But when we see all these things, disasters, earthquakes, terrible things about which we heard, then the Church of the Living God is now comforted. For the light of the Holy Spirit tonight is shining upwards. It's shining in heaven. And we can see when the eyes of our soul are open what we can wait there and how it is there. Of course, in human words. And what we can know of it now is a little part of it. For the reality is much more beautiful. No eye have seen it. No ear have heard it. It didn't even come up in heart of man. What God has prepared for they who love Him. We must keep that always on the background. That we try to speak, and the Word gives us words to speak about it, in a human way, to a human level, for we are less than little children. See 1 Corinthians 13. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. But when I have become an adult, and we are here less than a little child, even the greatest in the kingdom of God, but yet a child, born again, born out of the Spirit, to be written in heaven, to belong to the kingdom which is and which is coming, is the desire in our heart. Come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. Well, we go now to this part of the Word. And the seventh angel sounded. the last angel, in explaining the last seal, opening the last seal, and now the last part of the seventh seal, the seventh angel. All the time when an angel sounded trumpet, we saw in the light of the Spirit new visions. What happened in the earth, on the earth, what happened in heaven, and now the last period, the last things are shown to us and draw need our full attention. And this vision begins in heaven, doesn't stay in heaven. We shall see other things, and the Lord give us life. And we continue with chapter 12, 13, the chapter of the beasts, the other chapters following the fall of Babylon. Terrible things, glorious things, wonderful things. But now, as our form for the Lord's Supper express it so beautifully, let us lift up our hearts to heaven, where our high priest is at the right hand of the Father. And when the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven. Great voices. Voices which fill everybody. Voices which fill heaven. One of the precious things of heaven is that we shall be totally filled with God, with His Word. It can happen here, and I hope you know what it is, that there can be moments that you are full, full of the Word, that there is no room, no place for any other thought and any other feeling. I remember when I say these things, I have to think always to what happened in my beloved congregation, Elspeth, that we had such a wonderful Lord's Day, unforgettable. And that at the end of the third service, a man stood up and cried out, "I'm full, I'm full, I'm full." And then he went in the consistory room. He was full. And the world was full, and the church was full with the presence of God. We never can forget it. It's only one example. But I think that the people of God and heaven, something of heaven, fills your heart, really. Can have unforgettable moments that you are filled. And we read it in the Word on Pentecostal Day, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled. For some time, for some minutes, for some hours. And sometimes you hear for some days. And I once read a beautiful book of one of Scotland's ministers, a godly man. And he told, and I did a house visitation with a certain woman. Then I entered her home. And not only one time, but all the time. And he said, I wrote, therefore, I loved it so much to visit her. When I entered her home, I could feel the presence of God. I could feel her communion with God. And he wrote about her, for she never left her first love. Why do I mention these things? To bring it a little bit closer, nearer. But let us lift up our eyes to heaven and listen to that great voices and that what's said in heaven and that's what's filling heaven. Let that fill our heart and our life in an earthly level measure for the fullness we cannot bear. I had last week in jail a rather deep talk with one of the inmates, and he had a lot of questions about these things about which we are speaking now. How it shall be in heaven. And I said to him, when you should receive now the fullness of heavenly glory, then at the same moment you should die. For our earthly vessel is too weak to bear it. For the fullness we need, the body of Christ, glorified, the soul totally released, emptied of all sins. And so in heaven the souls are emptied of all sins, totally filled with the glory of God. And that's one of the lessons for the Lord's people, that we have to be more in heaven. And the more we are really in heaven and have the foretaste of it, the better we can live on the earth. The more useful we are. I think Enoch was a very useful man. He had a family. He had a business. He was in the middle of life. He was not a kind of monk. And yet, he walked with God. His walk was in heaven. And the Lord took him when he was rather young, regarding the ages in that time. Compared with our time, you can say he was in his early 30s. 30. And the Lord took him at home. Great voices. And what are these voices saying and teaching us? The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. The kingdoms of this world. So many states, mighty empires. This world outside God, against God, rebellious against the Lord. Read Psalm 2, the angel of the nations, the kingdoms of this world, what's written about it.
The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, his Christ, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask for me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. King David, 900 years before Christ. And here, the fullness. We are close to it. The kingdoms of this world, the mighty nations, they came together. Maybe you read it. 47 nations to speak about the danger of nuclear weapons in the hands of terrorists. One bomb can destroy New York, can destroy Michigan. 9/11 is an unforgettable date. In that plane was not a bomb. 3,000 people about has been killed then, when there had been a bomb, nuclear. What had happened then? One. Are the nations really so mighty? They rebel against the Lord. They break his laws. Homosexuality, abortion, permitted, of course. Homo marriage, let us do that. They break his laws. And he who is in heaven shall laugh. And in heaven it's seen fully. The kingdoms of our Lord. And when I was preparing myself for tonight, I saw how precious is this word, our. In this word, our Lord, is everything what you need to be eternal happy. And the Lord is in Christ Jesus, your Lord. And the whole church, the living church, can say by grace, very personally, my Lord. And together, united in the communion of the saints, our Lord. And the richness and the fullness of these words, my Lord, our Lord, makes you here so happy, but shall be fully known when you come in heaven, the fullness of the only comfort. For there is a people in this world, and that's the true people of God. And that people can only be comforted with God. That people shall be unhappy day by day, and shall mourn day by day, till they are reconciled with God. And by true faith can say, truly, my Lord, and my God. And nothing can be compared with that.
to belong to God, to be His child, to know it from Himself, our God. Do you feel how precious is this word, our Lord? For to Him are the kingdoms of this world. They are become. For a long time it seemed to be that Satan possessed them, that the devil conquered, and that the church sometimes thought all things are going wrong. No, nothing is going wrong. And the Lord Jesus has been crucified. The powers of hell were rejoicing too early. Never was going wrong when the Savior of the world died on the cross. Then everything was saved. It is finished. So it shall be at the end of the time. The church shall follow the footsteps of the Lord. The cross, humbled, weak, dying, nothing in the eyes of the world, but not in the eyes of God. The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord. And then that rich promise shall be fulfilled. I think we must try to live more out of the promises of God. And the whole earth shall be filled with the knowledge of God. The whole earth. Soon there shall be a time that the whole earth and all the kingdoms of the world belong to our Lord, full of the knowledge of God. That's coming very soon. That's the eternal reality. That's the desire in the hearts of the true Lord's people. Thy kingdom come. And it comes. Thousands and millions on the whole earth are united by the Spirit, in the Spirit, in the longing for His coming. Let us rejoice. Let us rejoice in the Lord. There is one people who has all reason to be glad. They often mourn, that's true. But they have all reason to be glad. And that's the true people of God. And of His Christ. It's special that the Holy Spirit writes here, the kingdoms of our Lord and His Christ. So emphasize this, the special relation between the Father and His anointed. Of course, there is a special relation of eternal love between Christ and you when you belong to Him. We can find a lot of wonderful things about that relation in the Word. But here is emphasized how by Christ we are brought back and reconciled with the Father. With the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, our Lord, and belong to Him, and that the kingdoms of this world has come to His Christ. And we read together a portion of Psalm 2, isn't it? Beautiful psalm, showing us the full eternal glory of Christ. For Christ is the name in which is expressed what the Lord Jesus is doing. My dear children, you remember, of course, what is the literal meaning of Christ. He is our highest prophet. He is sent by the Father to teach us heavenly things, eternal things, divine things. Christ is sent and came forth out of the love, the eternal love of God. And so he teaches us and makes us wise unto salvation. As our only high priest, he made a sacrifice for our sins. Total, full satisfaction. Nothing left. No tear. Nothing. And for our salvation, by the Holy Spirit, we rest only in him. I will give you rest. And his Christ, my dear children, you remember? How the Lord Jesus Christ is anointed to our eternal King. And his kingdom shall have no end, said the angel. His kingdom shall have no end. All things have an end. Our short life here, our treasures here, even the most beautiful things in our life, they all have an end. But here in heaven are the great voices. And he's seen fully, experienced the eternal glory of Christ as King, coming to the fullness of his work and his goal. And he shall reign forever and ever. He, not the devil, not any man. He. And what is then compared is forever and ever, this short time here, when the kings of the world, earth, rebels against the Lord and break his laws and go their own way, and enter moon and Mars. I think they can explain the evolution of man. And how they can blaspheme and deny the Creator of all things and despise the only Redeemer. Terrible. Endless terrible. There shall be no place for them. Where is your place? And outside this kingdom, outside this fullness, outside this glory, are you unbeliever? It's not too late now, but soon it shall be too late. It's preached, my dear children, young people, to you now, so that your heart and eyes shall be opened for the eternal glory and future of Christ. And the desire comes in your heart. O Lord Jesus, also me, also me. I remember that as a young guy, the Lord came in my life and I saw my lostness outside God. And that I was often crying the whole service, O Lord, also me, do it. The Lord is merciful. He's waiting to be gracious. It's now his delight to save, to bring you over from death into life. It's his pleasure to save a sinner. But when this time has come, and the kingdoms of the earth has come to our Christ, forever and ever,
He shall reign. Then everybody shall be outside, who is not cleansed in the blood, who is not renewed in the spirit.
I said this afternoon to one of the guys in the jail, I said, my friend, I hope you can understand. May you have not a delight here, not a delight, no pleasure in the service of God. May you have no delight in praising Him. They have no desire to be with Him. What must you do in heaven? And he agreed. He understood. He said, you're right, Pastor. That's true. Where our treasure is, that's our heart. Let our heart be in heaven. Let Christ be our treasure. Our future shall be so glorious and so endless terrible when we make the foolish choice. This world and the pleasures and the sins of this world, it's all vanity. Nothing can fill you. Nobody can fill you. God in Christ by the Holy Spirit, He makes you happy. Our Lord and His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. And there shall not be any place for anything else and anybody else. The place shall be outside in hell. And then we see another thing. And the 24 elders, which sat before God on their seats, fell upon their faces and worshipped God. You remember maybe what is meant with the 24 elders. They represent the whole church. 12 tribes, the church of the Old Testament, and the 12 apostles, the church of the New Testament. And then the elders, they represent the whole church. And we know them from further pages and chapters, how they came and come to their highest goal in praising God. And when they hear these things, and the 24 elders which sit before God on their seats, always the sight on God, always in His nearness, always fully, totally filled with Him, always close to Him. And when I prepared myself for this night, maybe you can understand how my thoughts went to my dear friend who passed away some weeks ago and gave such a wonderful witness before he died. And then I saw and felt a little bit, only a little bit, how happy he is sitting in the throne of God. It was here his desire, and he often spoke about it from heart to heart, to have more. We often spoke about that emptiness which a child of God feels, because we see there is much more. We have enough when we have the Lord, but we have never enough of His love and the knowledge of Him. He is the only one who can fill us into all eternity. And we are only happy here, real happy, when we have the foretaste of His eternal love. That are the happiest moments of our life, happier than our wedding day. And when we lose that again, we are so unhappy in our feelings, so empty. Lord, where art thou? And the 24 elders, representing the whole church of all times and ages, they are sitting before God in the total sight, knowledge, fullness of Him. Can we wish them back? That should be egoistic. His wife said, I don't wish him back. I miss him so much. I miss him so much. And when I see his books and see his what he owned, I have to work at it. I cry more than I can do. And yet, I don't wish him back. He's sitting in the throne. And there you are coming too. There you shall be very soon. And it must not be so far. You understand what I mean? The closer we live to the Lord, the more we are longing to be filled, to be perfect. We have such a small beginning here. And the 24 elders, they sit before God on their seats. And then they fell on their faces. And there they are on the ground, with their faces on the ground. It's an expression of the deepest reverence and the most wonderful love, totally filled with the glory of God and worship God. That's the goal, isn't it? To worship God in spirit and in truth. To worship Him. Him, He's the goal. The true service, the true worship, has only one goal: God's glory. Not what I shall have an experience. Not I. Not unto us, O Lord. Not unto us. It's our nature. He. Him is the glory. Him is the kingdom. To be totally filled with Him. That's worshipping. To be released of yourself. Nothing. Nothing left. How do you think about that? And they worshipped Him as they wished to do it here. And they couldn't. And yet they did. In part. And perfectly in Christ. For only one worship perfectly. Christ. But here, the elders, the church, are shown to us as coming to their highest goal. Totally filled with Christ. We shall be Him alike. We shall see Him as He is. And we shall be Him alike. In the glorification of God. In our human nature. We never can be Christ alike in His divine nature. That must be clear. That's not what I mean. But in His human nature. It's the promise. We shall see Him as He is. And we shall be Him alike. And that's what's happening here. Totally worshipping. Filled with the glory of God. And that they fall on their face. That's an expression of it. They have only one wish, one thought, one heart, in a perfect unity among one another, saying, we give Thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty. Ah, my dear flock, you know, to be saved and to come to your goal, you need to know, spiritually know, experimentally to know, three things. How great is your sin and misery? how you shall be released of it. But the goal is thankfulness. That's the goal. The two things which are preceding, they are staying here. But a perfect thankfulness brings us to our eternal goal. We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty. They see God. Blessed are the pure of heart. They shall see God. Here in part, from far, for short moments, and yet through, unforgettable. But we see God in heaven in perfection. Pure of heart. Perfect, pure. And we see how He is the Almighty. You must see that. It cannot really be explained. Maybe you remember I often say, things are so hidden, but at the moment that your eyes are opened, you have no question anymore, for you see it. And here the hearts of God's people can also be filled with a deep impression of the Almighty of God. That you really see it. And then all creatures are nodding. Then the whole world is nodding. And that's what the Lord Jesus is meaning when you have a faith as a mustard seed. Then you say to that mountain, be removed and planted in the sea. He shall obey you. I believe in God Almighty. God the Father, Almighty. That's seen here in faith by the enlightening of the Spirit. And then every man is nodding. Then we have no fear. What can a little man do me? Then I am in the hands and the love and the heart of the Almighty God. But in heaven, there is a full Doris of God's Almighty. And that's what they say when they worship the Lord, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty. Here we use often words about God and the Bible and religion. And we don't know what we are saying. We know the words, and we use the words. But the words are related to the matter itself. And then we don't know the matter itself. The words are empty for us. But when the words become reality, and we have a full sight and knowledge of the matter, then we are filled by it. Lord God Almighty. And then they worship Him and glorify God, for they see fully and clearly His eternity, which art and was and are to come. And they see Him in His future. Thou, because Thou hast taken to Thee Thy great power and hast reigned. His kingdom, His great power,
It's all totally, fully clear. And the nations were angry. And thy wrath is come. And the time of the dead, that they should be judged. And that thou shouldst give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. The nations were angry.
Psalm 2.
Thy wrath is come, often warned. The time of the dead, that they should be the judged. Nobody here is here who doesn't know that. The day of judgment.
And in heaven, God is glorified for his righteous judgment. And that thou should give reward unto thy servants, the prophets. Here they suffered a lot. Here they were despised. Here they were rejected. Here they were hated. But great is their reward in heaven. Eternal reward, the Lord himself, and to the saints, all the true believers are saints, holy in Christ and by Christ, and them that fear thy name with a childlike fear, because they have the desire to be close to the Lord, and they fear to create distance by their sins. And therefore they are looking so much for a holy life. Small and great. Is that not a beautiful expression, children? Little children who fear the Lord. Saints. I have in my library a little book. It's in Dutch. Maybe it's translated, I don't know. Full of witnesses of little children who died early. But before their death, they gave witness of the living hope which was in their hearts. Small and great, also children, also young people, they shall be there in the throne of God and worship him. And shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And then the temple of God was opened in heaven. And there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. The temple of God was opened. What was seen? Well, I think it's made clear in Revelation 21, verse 22. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the temple of God was opened, and I saw no temple, for the temple for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb. And then it's used the same expression by which the elders glorify and worship God. O Lord God Almighty. No temple. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Opened. Full eternal knowledge of the Lord God Almighty. A full eternal knowledge of the Lamb. And there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. The ark, the place of reconciliation. The place of the blood on the great day of atonement. The full knowledge of the eternal love of Christ and the eternal power of the blood and the eternal faithfulness of the promises of God. It's open. Sometimes our soul can be refreshed when the Word is opened for us and we see things which we didn't see before. But in heaven, there is a full, eternal opening. And then the light is coming back to the earth. The glory of the Church of God is shown to us. And in poor words, words cannot utter the fullness of it. We have tried to say something of it with a desire that your heart becomes longing and that your thoughts and desires and life and walk shall be more in heaven. And then the light of the Spirit is coming back to the earth. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail, disasters, judgments of the Lord, making us clear. The time is near and the time is short. Seek the Lord while He is to be found, so that you may be ready for the eternal glory. Amen. Let us pray and thank now. Eternal God, be Thy our refuge from under everlasting arms. O Lord, we thank Thy holy name for this Thy precious word, and pray for Thy blessing for each of us, that we all may be made ready for that wonderful place where Thou art worshipped in all perfection and eternity. Lord, be with us when we leave this place, and give us grace to look forward to the coming Lord's Day, and grant us a foretaste of what it shall be to be with Thee. Dear Lord, pardon our sins also of this night, and bring us safely home, bring us eternal home. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.